is Romans 12, 10, 16, and 18, where we read, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. And if possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peacefully with all." And we were going to have you read in unison the call in 1 John, the commandment, that we love one another, and that the world will know we love God by the quality of love we have for each other. This is another in a series on Christian character. I recommend a book that I've been reading to you. It's called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made by Dr. Brand, who is a physician in charge of the only leprosarium in America. And it's an incredible book paralleling the human body with the body of Christ. And I recommend it. It's in our, will be on our book table if it's not there today. Recently, I was chatting with an orthopedic surgeon about the miracle of hip replacement, a surgical procedure that at least two people in our congregation have had this year. How fantastic to think that a diseased hip can be replaced with a new one. I learned that the greatest challenge in such a surgery was to find a suitable substance for the new hip. Parts of the body work so closely that they generate friction. Those suffering from arthritis know the pain associated with this friction when bones become rough and they grate together like sandpaper. Our body lubricates its healthy moving parts with incredible efficiency. A laboratory in England was a place where some chemists and engineers compared the functional and the frictional properties of cartilage-lined joints with man-made materials. And I was just literally elated about the findings. Joints in action within our body produce 1/5 the friction of any known man-made substance. God did something when He created this body we have not been able to duplicate. Researching further, they discovered that joint cartilage is filled with tiny channels full of what they call synovial fluid. Small jets shoot this fluid into the cartilage while the joint is moving. It creates a phenomenon where actually surfaces within the joint don't touch at all, but rather they're floating on this fluid. No wonder then joints can last for decades without breaking down. Smoothness of function is a top priority within the human body, because its absence brings lameness and pain. I would offer to you that our bodies are one giant miracle of cooperation and coordination, where millions of parts, even as mine is doing right now, is functioning together in perfect harmony, following the directions from the head. And that's a miracle we live with every day. Now, this scenario on the body has everything to do with our text, because the Bible likens the human body to Christ's body, the church. And smooth functioning of joints, of relationships between Christians, is a top priority in Scripture. And the reason it's a priority is that spiritual arthritis can attack Christians. As I analyze it, most of the ergs of energy in my ministry is devoted to keeping people tracking together, helping people get along. In fact, I would call myself as a God-ordained flask of oil that's always pouring, where Christians, whether in their marriages or friendships or within the church, are grating on each other with a diseased joint causing pain. Getting along with each other, I would offer, is one of the great monumental tasks in living. When you really think of what's involved in coping with living, it's getting along with people, usually number one. Look over this past week at work, in the home, in your neighborhood, with your children, on campus, and you'll know that your struggle with people is one of the largest. Think of the disease represented by the hostage crisis. Hatred, cruelty, mistrust, a breakdown of communication between people and nations. Well, at least we're tempted to expect something better from Christians. But usually, even here, we're disappointed. Christian churches are plagued with pettiness and division. I was consulting a church, a large one, and their in such desperate need because basically they're a group of people who gather in Christ's name, but they don't know how to love each other, and they're dead in the water, and they're dying. Christian marriage is plagued with what I would call arthritic joints, as Christians and husbands rub on each other and grate and cause pain and injury. Some Christians find it impossible to get along with neighbors, with teachers, with those with whom we work, a roommate, a parent. As loving as this church is, I know, as any pastor knows, that we're always one step away from a blow-up. And I also know that not everybody here has been swept into the love and the oneness that you hear talked about, but sometimes you wonder where it is because you feel left out. Therefore, I believe because of the issue of togetherness and the difficulty in getting along, it should be no surprise when we find among the characteristics of a mature Christian in Romans 12, the quality of peacemaker. Our text says, love one another with brotherly affection. So far as it depends upon you, live peacefully with all, and so is the call of Christ. And that's as important as doctrine or any other dimension of Christian living. In fact, I would offer to you it's probably the most important because without it, we can't do anything else. There are many similar directives in the New Testament revealing the revolutionary impact Jesus has upon those who surrender to his lordship. I think of one hostage, and I'm sure there's others, and I'll never be able to stand in their moccasins, but one of them seems so filled with hatred for the captors. And I thought, you know, unless the Lord releases him, his bondage remains even though he's at home. And some of us are in such bondage to bitterness in our marriage or with our children or with our neighbor that in a sense we're in prison. And I might ask, where have we been when we hear verses like Matthew 5? And this is Jesus speaking, commanding. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. If one strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if one would sue you and take away your coat, let him have your cloak as well. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You know, it's appropriate that we expose ourselves to these radical expectations, these commandments, if you will, from Jesus. Because that's what makes Christians unique in the world. People who've been empowered to live out in our flesh and blood something that no other organization, nation, or person can live out in the world. Live together in harmony in spite of our diversity and in spite of our brokenness and sins against each other. If we seek maturity as a disciple, our call is to go beyond nodding our head in agreement with these principles and become committed to putting them into the flesh and blood where we live and with those with whom we live. I want to begin by considering harmony in the church family and work from there into our one-to-one relationships. Think of the miracle. I think it's a miracle. When you realize that 3,300 different parts of this church body are working together in peace and harmony in general, in spite of, well, you know, I have to be honest. There's a few grouches, and I'm probably one of them at times. But you realize we've been through a building campaign here, and if you've ever remodeled your house and know what's involved between a husband and wife in a remodel, and what we've done with 3,300 of us in the family with all these different tastes. We've had complete staff changeover in 6 years, staff coming and going. We've had total redirection of ministry, adding and subtracting. Ministers are wearing these weird colored robes. We have everything changing. Way back to my midlife crisis bracelet, if you've been here. I don't have it on today. I had another birthday. My point, one of the things I love about you people and appreciate is your commitment to Jesus Christ that's made this miracle possible, because it's only him, and freshly out of a consulting situation, that I have it blown in front of my eyes what we have by the grace of God, and should that grace be removed, how fast this church could explode and become like the rest of the world. Our unity is a wonder to observers. It's more important than our doctrine. In fact, in a sense, our unity reinforces our commitment to Jesus, our doctrine, if you please. Now, even more of a wonder, our church is basically made up of chiefs, not Indians. And during the week, for the most part, most of you are accustomed to making decisions and having them followed, rather than submitting to leadership as you must in a congregation. You here have elected to submit to your elected leaders because you are submitted to Jesus Christ, and that is a miracle. Now, in spite of our track record for unity, I never take it for granted because the Bible says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And so I want to give a negative example of how arthritis might afflict us and a positive example of how we can pour joints in our oil, as far as the church, or oil in our joints. You know, I'm trying to get away from this manuscript, and that's what happens when you're 44. It won't click anymore. So either I talk straight and read, or I ad-lib and foul up. Forgive me. A person hears of a decision with which he or she disagrees, and you do not obviously agree with every decision your session makes or your leaders make. What is heard may be third hand or from parties on one side of the issue. The person doesn't bother to check out the facts with God's elected leaders, but burning with a sense of injustice, he or she begins to, quote, inform other individuals of the grievous sin that's taken place at the part of the leadership of the church. Now, what's scary about friction in the body is that it spreads like a virus. At first, an individual might be angry at the decision, then they become angry at a person, and as talk continues, momentum grows, and suddenly one is angry and suspect of the whole church, its leadership, and its integrity. And at this point, the devil jumps up and down. And that pattern has been followed in church after church after church through the ages, and we, believe me, are not immune to it. And that's why the New Testament gives us this vital commandment in 1 John, love one another, not because you feel like it, but because of your commitment to Jesus Christ. Live in harmony with each other. As far as it depends upon you, live peacefully with all. I submit that our most powerful corporate witness as a church family that we can offer the community that watches us is our God-given ability to function together in unity while maintaining our unique diversity. The Holy Spirit takes heterogeneous parts like you and me and paints a picture of oneness and commitment and purpose that tells the world this is uniquely what Jesus does to the people who follow him. And I challenge you, you find that anywhere else in the world today. It just is not there. Oh, we have quasi-examples, but not at the depth of a family as Jesus has committed and created here. I believe we're a wonder to the world. And I hold this gift before you as a top priority in my book to pray for and nourish. Because without a continuation of the smooth functioning of relationships here, we will be neutralized in our ability to move out for Jesus in these critical times. Now I want to give you an example of pouring oil into joints. A man took me to lunch, told me of his love for this church, but his inability to feel fed in our midst. He felt he needed a more liturgical, non-relational type of wineskin for worship, felt he needed a different style for preaching. But he told me he'd pray about this tension and let me know his decision. Recently, he wrote a letter asking for a transfer of membership to a congregation where he feels comfortable. But he's a brother, and I love him, because he left without criticism, without seeking others to agree with him, without attacking the leadership. He was oil in the joints of the body of Christ. I would have loved him if it went without such a loving behavior, but it was beautiful to see his maturity and able to say, this isn't for me, it doesn't mean it's wrong. The body is diverse, and yet one. Well, talking about the church as a large family doesn't make you squirm much, but Do you know what we must, in order to be honest, move from 3,300 down to you and myself and where we have one-to-one encounters with people? Because that's where most of the arthritis spiritually rests. Again, I remind you of the text, if possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peacefully with all, with mate, with neighbor, with those with whom we work, with those with whom we have a dorm mate, etc. You and I are responsible before God to aggressively make peace, seek peace in all relationships, not just love it and want it. I have a theory, backed up with my 20 years in the church, that most grouchy people within the church are grouchy people in their personal lives. And one of the reasons they grouch in church is that they're all fouled up in their personal lives. And I've yet to see an exception. I want to ask some questions. First of all, what about your marriage? Would you call yourself a peace lover, one who wants a happy marriage, but you're not doing very much to make it that way? You want your mate to do it and your children to do it. Or are you a peacemaker who, because of Jesus, rather than your feelings, are in there turning the wrench and doing everything you can to pour it on the oil and keep friction down? Is your relationship with your mate and your children one of making a list of their weaknesses and your expectations? Or is your list one of affirmation and praise of these people you love? What happened at breakfast this morning? Or let's look at the whole week. Do your words tear down or do they build up? It's always funny how you hit a few like that. So far as it depends upon you, are you keeping the joints well-oiled in your home, or are you waiting for your children and mate to come with the oil can and do it for you to make you stop squeaking? Tim Timmons, in his book Maximum Marriage, which I also recommend to you, relates this scenario between a husband and wife having friction in their relationships, and I think it's beautiful. First, the wife says, if you're reincarnated, she says it to her husband, if you're reincarnated, you're going to come back as a dog. To which the husband replies, yeah, and it would be just my luck that you'd return as a flea. And you see, so goes the pain in marriage. When we neglect the biblical wisdom that a soft answer turns away wrath. Well, we're not all married. What about those hot spots between you and at work? Everybody can talk except staff here on this church, Joan. What about those in your neighborhood, at school? Now, these are some nitty-gritty questions. Do you feel others perceive you as one who aggressively seeks to be a peacemaker, or are you viewed as one needing to be pacified and handled with kid gloves? In confrontations, do you function as glue that holds people together, or are you the person others must win over in order for the relationship to continue? Are you so filled with the character of Jesus that people and their needs are emerging in your priority list as more important than your needs and your ego? These are questions that need to be answered if we read a text about Christian maturity and hear our call to be peacemakers, to hear Jesus saying, as far as it depends upon you, live in harmony with everybody. If we're not doing that, we're in disobedience. We're part of the problem in the world instead of part of the cure. We are not with Jesus, we're anti-Jesus, because any time we're sandpaper in a joint, we're destroying the thing he came to create, unity among people. I want to close with some other scriptures that challenge you, and then I want to give you a personal challenge that you can take home out the door. Romans 15:5. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:14. Above all, as most important, Paul says, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. 1 Corinthians 12:24 and 25. God so composed the body, giving greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord, no arthritis in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And then finally, I love this prayer of Paul. I, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so goes the scriptural directives that call us to harmony in our relationships in the church, in marriage, among friends, in the neighborhood, at work, wherever human beings come together. Because every time we're together, we're telling the world, for better or worse, the effect Jesus has upon people. So here's the challenge. If you'd like to mean business, pull all the stops toward Christian maturity, then I would offer that these words must become flesh and blood, and it won't happen easily. I don't know about all your relationships, but maybe in this sermon God has highlighted one relationship that needs to be changed. Would you dare with me to ask God to do the following? Take this relationship where you're chafing, where there's heat and hatred, and ask God to enable you to forgive, whether the person changes or not, to turn the other cheek, to pour on oil of healing, to knock down the barriers, to build a bridge, and to say, Jesus, if you're really real, and if you've forgiven me, and if you've given me eternal life, then help me in this practical way with at least this one person that I could never do in my own strength to heal this relationship. And then believe God has heard your prayer. And then go out the door with this commitment. As far as it depends upon me, I will live in harmony with this person as my personal act of obedience to Jesus, whether I feel like it or not. Again, Jesus said, "The world will know you are my disciples by the quality of love you have for each other." And to his name be the glory in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.